In association with For Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom the Podcast Tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to the episode of From the Podcast Tolls here on April 5th, 2016. This is the official podcast from the CowbellTolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer for From the Cowbell Tolls, and joining me is fellow From the Cowbell Tolls writer Ethan Lee. Hello, Ethan.
How's it going?
I don't know. How about yourself?
I'm pretty good.
I want to keep you wondering because I just said I don't know.
Okay.
Because
I just don't care. I don't care how you're doing right now.
Why?
I don't know. Should I care?
Yes.
But you don't know how you're doing, so why should I care if you don't know?
Because you care.
So,
on the show today, we're going to talk about baseball. The Mississippi State baseball team took two out of three against the Ole Miss Rebels. It was beautiful.
It was fun.
It was beautiful.
Enjoyable series.
And people actually still want him people want Cohen fired because we lost on Sunday. There are people like that. So yeah, we're going to talk about that. Ethan's going to talk about the green ball.
The green ball? Is that what you want to start calling softball?
Yes, because the ball isn't soft.
What about tennis, then?
That's tennis.
Hey, so there's an Onion article out right now. Frustrated UNC student too busy studying for players test to watch title game.
That's really funny.
Because as we're recording the title game's going on, neither of us really care that much about it. And neither do the frustrated UNC students that are studying for the players. So, game one, to go to Hudson.
Ethan, time out.
You time out.
And Mississippi State will also play UT Martin in the midweek. It's supposed to be two games. It's going to be one game. We'll talk about that. Well, it's your fault.
I don't care.
Because you interrupted me.
You interrupted me? No. I was talking about Dakota Hudson transitioned over to the game.
Well, you mentioned Dakota Hudson before I was going to mention how we were going to talk about UT Martin, because I like to lay out what we're going to talk about on the show beforehand, and I wasn't
done. Because we never do it before we start recording.
Well, shut up.
What we do about half
on today. So, let's go ahead and start off with the baseball series. Mississippi State took 2 of 3 against the Ole Miss Rebels, a 3-1 win on Friday, 6-2 win on Saturday, and an 8-5 loss on Sunday. But let's go ahead and talk about Sunday and start with our normal starting.
Wait, time out real quick. Yes. The Rebels, they're a top 10 RPI team even still.
I believe they're number 7.
Yeah, and they were ranked as high as, what, 10, 11 or something like that before the series?
Something like that. I think the highest was 11.
And that was, I think, with not Baseball America, but Perfect Game, probably?
I don't know.
You don't know. So this is quality wins.
Hashtag quality wins. Hashtag.
Good deal.
Hashtag.
And you know who had very quality game on, what was it, Friday?
Dakota Hudson. Dakota Hudson started for Mississippi State, and he was the only pitcher in the game.
Yes.
9 innings pitched, giving up 4 hits, 1 run, and that was in the first inning, and it was unearned, and he just happened to strike out 11 batters.
That first inning, you know, is kind of reminiscent of some of his early struggles that we've seen in previous appearances from him.
Yeah.
But then he really, you know, found his groove through 9 complete innings, only gave up the 4 hits. Where's the home stats? Okay. What was it? Like 70.3 or something like that percent of his total pitches thrown were strikes. He didn't walk a single batter. He hit one, but, you know, that doesn't count as a base on balls. So just a really phenomenal appearance from Dakota Hudson earned him the National Collegiate Player of the Week, co-SEC Pitcher of the Week.
Yeah.
With Robert Tyler from
of Georgia.
Yeah.
So. But you mentioned that first inning.
Yeah.
And I'll say this.
Say it.
That
this
game would be completely different. Would, in my opinion, would have been completely different if Errol Robinson hadn't been thrown out at third.
Correct.
That, because at that time, Will Golson was hit by a pitch. Errol Robinson reached on what, an error? Yeah, he reached on an error. Mm-hmm. So there were men, and then, so there were men on the corners with no outs, J.B. Woodman up. He singled, got an RBI. Who would have scored? Will Golson scored. So that means it's 1-0 Ole Miss with zero outs, and Errol Robinson is going to third. I believe it was Jake Mangum who threw him out. Was it Jake Mangum?
Yeah. Mangum did everything this mm-hmm. weekend.
Jake Mangum pretty much just darted a ball right to third base and got Errol Robinson out, and you could tell that before that, the crowd was completely out of it. It was a really horrible start. It looked like, oh God, this is going to happen again against Ole Miss. And then, boom, Mangum gets Errol Robinson, who's one of the fastest players in the SEC, by the way. Got him out at third, and then everything changed. The crowd was into it. It was just a complete momentum boost. Then right after that, J.B. Woodman was caught stealing at second, and then Colby Bortles struck out, and then everything went our way.
Yeah. And it's not like Ole Miss had a bad appearance from their pitching staff. Brady Bramlett threw 5 1/3, gave up 6 hits, only 2 earned runs, but he only struck out 2. Mm-hmm. From your Friday ace, you're obviously going to need better than that. And he was replaced by, who's this, Will Stokes?
Will Stokes.
I only have an initial and then the last name. But who threw 2 2/3. He only gave up 1 earned run as well. Or 1 earned run, not as well. But also only, you know, struck out 1. So not... You know, these weren't terrible performances by their pitching staff. But they were simply out-dueled by Dakota Hudson. Which most pitchers in the nation cannot go up against Hudson right now and expect to come out on top. Mm-hmm. Just, he is going through anyone and everyone. Like poop through a goose.
No. No. No, that's the worst analogy ever.
You've never heard that analogy before?
That's a god-awful...
You've never heard that analogy before?
Poop through a goose.
Well, it's typically an expletive through a goose, but I'm not... We're keeping this PG-13.
PG-13.
I'm actually 21, but close enough.
But yeah, great performance by Dakota Hudson. His 4th win on the year, has an ERA of less than 1 now, has not given up an earned run in over 36 innings.
Really does look like the projected top 10 pick that a lot of people are saying he is.
And there are some scouts saying if he can keep this up, he'll be the number 1 overall pick.
It's too bad the Astros can't draft
him. Which I don't know if Mississippi State's ever had one of those.
In any sport?
False. LaToya Thomas was the number 1 overall pick in the WNBA draft.
Okay. In any men's sport?
No.
No?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
I think Will Clark is the closest, and I think he went 2nd.
Yeah. That sounds right.
But at the plate, for the most part, it was fine. I mean, 3 runs isn't fantastic, but...
Well, I mean, State really did not do well at the plate in this game. They hit 6 for 31, a batting average of 194,
mm-hmm.
With 2 out hitting, which has been good for this team. They were 1 for 10.
Mm-hmm.
So, just as a team, compared to what we've seen, this was not a good performance. But they did go up against pretty good pitching.
Yes, you've already gone through Brady Bramlett's stats.
Yeah.
And Will Stokes, who had probably a...
He had a better outing than Bramlett, I would say. Smaller sample size, but still better.
But Reed Humphreys went 3 for 4, had 2 RBIs in this one. That was probably the best hitting performance. Jake Mangum, 2 for 4, scored 2 runs. Jacob Robson, 1 for 4, scored a run. And then no one else did anything.
Yeah, Jack Kruger 0 for 3, Gavin Collins 0 for 3. Okay, Jack Kruger, the rest of the lineup goes 0 for 3.
And Jack Kruger got hurt in this game as well.
Yeah,
and hit by pitch. Jack Kruger has really sort of gotten into a slump as of late.
Yeah,
started out the year over 600, now has dipped into the mid 300s.
Which, okay, let's go ahead and say that being in the mid 300s,
it's fantastic.
Yeah, but compared to what he was doing early on, and compared to what you know, Robson's batting upper 300s, Mangum's batting 378, so. This team as a whole is batting really well, and Kruger is still in the upper echelon of batters on this team.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were to probably break it down into conference play, he's probably not doing all that great.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but in this one, as it seems to be the case for the most part on Fridays, pitching won.
Yeah, and our pitching won. Because nobody's beating Dakota Hudson right now.
Right now.
Right now. We're going to talk about that more Thursday.
So, on Saturday, Mississippi State defeated the Ole Miss Rebels 6-2.
Which, we talked about this. The score was double. And, unfortunately, the score didn't double again for the Sunday slate. But
well, don't be depressed. Don't be sad.
Fun trivia. The score doubled from Friday to Saturday. So, that's cool.
Fantastic.
You're welcome. Austin Sexton threw another complete game.
Yes, 9 innings... Another complete
game. Yes. Yes. Complete games typically entail 9 innings.
Well, did he pitch a complete game last week?
What I was saying is another complete game from the standpoint of this weekend.
Oh, okay.
Not just like career.
Austin Sexton. He pitched a complete game, as you mentioned, gave up 2 hits, or 4 hits, 2 runs, both of which were caused from idiotic fielding plays by Jake Mangum, and struck out 8. Those 2 runs should not have happened. Should not have happened.
That's a freshman error.
Jake Mangum.
Who does show that he's mortal?
Mm-hmm. Jake Mangum should have given Robson the call, and then Jake Mangum should not have called off John Holland at second. Those two were the hits that ultimately gave Ole Miss their 2 runs. But still, Austin Sexton was able to get out of that inning in the almighty 8th.
Yeah, that was a frustrating set of at-bats right there, mm-hmm. especially from... You know, we were texting back and forth because I had just started retweeting Ole Miss's tweets. And you were blaming me for it.
Yes. Yeah, you are the reason why we gave up 2 runs.
Well, okay, but I like to, in these big games, like I did it against Oregon.
Oh, well, Oregon, well, that's really...
Oregon's awful.
Yeah, they're terrible.
Looking back at it, I had fun with it because Oregon was getting curb stomped. But in this game, Jake Mangum had another huge performance.
Mangum. You said Mangum. It's Mangum.
I know.
It's not Mangum.
Hey, I'm going to fight you.
No, you're not.
Because I was thinking and talking.
You know that you're too
Mangum
nice.
Had a...
Okay.
Went 2 for 3 at the plate. Got his first home run of the year.
Yes, and got a double home run in the first inning. His first pitch of the game.
Huge performance.
That was very nice.
Great way to get the game started.
So Mississippi State led 1-0, and then the second inning happened.
Sky kind of fell.
An inning in which we scored 3 runs off of 4 hits. Still left 2 on, which made my dad mad. My dad was fuming when we left 2 runners on base.
That did not rhyme.
I know. Because he was angry that Nate Lowe... He was angry. He was pretty much bad mouthing Nate Lowe throughout the entire game, because we left 2 on. But anyways,
the team as a whole went 12 for 33 for a batting average of .364.
Very good.
Significantly improved. Ole Miss only went 4 for 33 for a batting average of .121.
We racked up 12 hits in this game.
Yeah, I just said 12 for 33.
Yeah, it's true.
Two out hitting significantly improved as well.
Yep.
Went 3-for-10, literally three times better than what they did Friday. And then with runners in scoring position, they went 2-for-5.
Mm-hmm.
So,
pretty
good performance as a team.
Indeed.
The bases loaded, they were 2-for-3. I forgot that we loaded the bases a couple times.
One thing about Ole Miss that we saw that's true about their team that we definitely saw here is that their bullpen is probably significantly better than their starting pitching. And that was something that we didn't really mention directly, but we sort of somewhat mentioned it on Thursday.
Well, we mentioned that they had problems finding starting pitching, but they had a couple of good relievers. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't directly state that their bullpen was the bulk of their pitching.
Yeah, Brady Feigl didn't strike out one batter, but he still had a really good outing. Up, pitching 5 1/3, giving up 6 hits, 2 runs, both of which were in his last inning of work.
When it comes to just as pitching comparisons here, the stat lines are very similar. Total pitches, Ole Miss threw 110, we threw 111. Strikes were 74-78. Just as a whole, really similar performances from the bevy of arms that Ole Miss used, the trio there, against Austin Sexton. But Sexton was just considerably better.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, pretty much in this game, with the exception of that 8th inning, a complete game, hitting-wise and pitching-wise, for Mississippi State, which was very fun to see.
It really, before we go into Game 3 meltdown, which we are used to at this point.
Yeah, I expected.
Can we just go ahead and say, one, that I was right that we got 2 of 3, and two, that the team is really starting to play up to their potential? Especially as of late.
Yeah.
The Game 3 meltdowns, we don't know what we have pitching-wise beyond really Sexton and Hudson.
So because of that, fire Cohen and Wes Johnson, because they have no idea what the heck they're doing. Right? Right?
But I really want to say that the team, I was saying it a couple weeks ago, I think Justin Strawn was another notable one who was saying it a couple weeks ago, that the team is really starting to mesh. They're really starting to play up to their potential. The freshman, still making a few mistakes here and there, Mangum's performance and the and outfield errors were key indicators of that. But the team as a whole, this is what we expected coming into the year.
Actually, it wasn't on my part. I was just expecting this to be a normal regional
for a top 15 team coming into the year in a lot of polls. They're performing, they're probably outperforming expectations at this point. But the way they're beating teams, they're showing they can do it in a multitude of ways. I still don't think they have a real identity, but the versatility of the team is really, really useful here. Now we just need to find a way to get the youngsters in the bullpen to not play like poop. So, and on to game 3.
Dez Bryant just posted an Instagram photo in support
that
of Greg Hardy.
Not game 3, but okay.
Game 3. A game where I just expected something like this to happen, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
An 8-5 loss. Mississippi State gave up one run in the first inning, one run in the second, got a couple of good innings, and then it sort of just fell apart from there. Mississippi State had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pitchers in this ballgame, started Daniel Brown, and I hope it's his last outing of the year. One inning, giving up 3 hits and 2 runs, both of which earned, walking 1, striking out none. Ryan Rigby came in and as a replacement, for the most part, pitched well and then sort of fell apart towards the end of his outing, pitching 4 runs, giving up 3 hits, 2 runs, striking out 3. Ethan Small, not fantastic. One inning, 1 run. Blake Smith, 1 inning, 1 run. Vance Tatum,
A third of an inning.
Yeah.
And nothing else.
And Reed Humphreys didn't do all that well either.
You know, I saw someone asking, why didn't we pitch Rigby any longer? I'm not sure he really has the arm to go much more than four innings. Just being perfectly honest, I don't think he is built for that.
And personally, with how our midweek has gone, we're going to have to use him at some point in the midweek as a midweek reliever.
So yeah, we're going to need Rigby come SEC tournament time. You don't want to burn his arm here. So just as a whole, this is what we expected. This is particularly what I expected because I said we'd take two of three. Daniel was wrong here.
Well, I was right. Well, when you say here, we're talking about Sunday and I was completely right about this.
When I say here, I'm referring to the whole series where you predicted we'd only take one of three.
Because I'm a troll.
You're a troll Ole Miss fan, according to the Facebook commenters?
Well, everyone is a troll Ole Miss fan, according to all Facebook commenters.
So, let's go ahead and start talking about our former doubleheader.
I want to mention something. You are completely making this the Ethan Lee show. I'll get into
you
this.
You tried to make this the Ethan Lee show at one point.
I kind of wish I did.
Fight me.
Okay. What's the place you like? Like Temecula or something?
Yeah, meet me.
I don't even understand
Tupelo is probably a good
I don't even understand that reference.
You don't see the SB Nation article on it?
Nope.
I'll send it to you.
I'm not going to read it. So, on the pitching... Brian Haydad mentioned this, tweeted this, and that's sort of where I'm going to get this. Let's talk a little bit about the possible future for this team.
Oh, are you talking about... Yeah, okay.
In the postseason.
Yeah.
He mentioned that if we make it to a Super Regional, he will guarantee an Omaha appearance, and I completely agree with that, because Hudson and Sexton, and without their pitching right now, no one can beat them, for the most part.
Yeah, we're going to talk
pitching
about that
more. Right now. Like, right
we're
now.
We're going to talk about that more this coming weekend.
But in a regional, let's say we pitch Hudson Sexton in our first two games, and we need to win a third game to win a regional, and those two are gassed for a possible fourth game. That's concerning as it is. Never mind losing one game in a regional. Trying to find someone for game three or four is already concerning.
That's where you'd really hope they would turn to Connor Pilkington, is who I think he's the third best starter on the team.
I agree with you.
Some of our commenters on For Whom the Cowbell Tolls have asked, where's Miles Gentry? I tend to agree. Where'd he go?
Well,
is he hurt?
Let's make a quick Google search.
He's probably still in Starkville.
There's nothing.
No, so, unless they just haven't released that information, which sometimes happens.
I mean, obviously, Miles Gentry blew up last year.
Yeah.
So, maybe they're just not confident in him anymore.
Keegan James would be another one I'd be interested in seeing.
When was the last time he pitched?
It's been a little while. I think they're probably going to throw him tomorrow. Or today as they listen.
But let's just say we get out of a regional and win a super regional. At that point, we can go ahead and throw our hands in the air and say, we're probably not going to win in Omaha.
No. Teddy Cahill, I don't know how you pronounce his last name. We've gone through me and pronunciation of certain names, not always great. But he went ahead and he's with Baseball America and he threw Mississippi State in his 8 for Omaha list today.
Oh, wow.
So that's notable.
Is that anything to do with what I was just saying?
No. Well, besides, you just mentioned Omaha.
Okay.
Because this team making it to the College World Series is to be celebrated, but I don't think it should be expected. I don't think we can realistically go beyond a Super Regional. just because I think we will run into trouble in a regional.
I agree with that. But if we do get to a super regional, I ultimately think, depending on who we play, that we will go to Omaha. But once we go to Omaha, you shouldn't, if you're expecting to pull a 2013, you can forget
it. That tournament is going
to
be...
But with that being said, if we get to the championship series, you can start licking your chops and thinking we could legitimately win a national championship with just... Now, if we lose a game in that national championship, yeah, we're done. But if we get to a national championship series... And once again, am I saying that I'm expecting this to happen? No. This is just hypotheticals. And I don't even know why I'm even mentioning a national championship in a hypothetical.
You hate hypotheticals.
I know, I despise them, but sometimes they're sort of fun to think about. In this case, this is one of those cases. But if we do possibly get to the national championship series, you should be confident. But regionals is going to be, from the get-go, it's going to be difficult.
SEC tournament's going to be difficult.
Yeah. And just really, in my opinion, the SEC tournament doesn't really matter in terms of hosting and...
No,
won the SEC tournament in 2012 and we were still a 2-seed.
Yeah, at this point, I don't care if we go beyond the first round of the tournament. Just, as soon as we get out, let's get out, let's go home, let's rest the arms. Because we have a good chance at winning, it's very possible that the team could win the regular season title at this point, the way it's predicting.
Yeah.
The way it's set up. I would be happy with that. Let's go ahead and put that banner up, let's put that on some building somewhere, and then let's get right back home, rest the arms. Just because I'm really confident with our first two guys, Austin Sexton and Dakota Hudson, but the bullpen needs some work. And it'll be interesting, we've talked a little bit about this, not on the air, but it'll be interesting to see how the bullpen shapes up for next year. How another offseason with Wes Johnson works out. It'll be really interesting to me to see how that pans out. Because a lot of people some of our commenters are bashing them. But I just don't think Johnson's had enough time with some of the younger arms in the bullpen just yet. So, we can't really dismiss the fact that this is still a very young team. So
let's go ahead and talk about UT Martin now, the Skyhawks.
The Dylan Favre-less Skyhawks?
This is Dylan Favre-less Skyhawks, that's correct. A team in which we were supposed to play two games, it was cut down to one. If I would have to guess, it's because I don't think we... do you think it's because Cohen didn't think we could win both games?
No. Steve Robertson tweeted out that it had to do with saving the arms for the Florida series.
There we go.
Not running through all the arms against a nobody.
So, the Skyhawks, they don't have the actual record in front of them on their schedule, so I'm going to have to count. Awful. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They have 7 wins.
Oh, no, they're awful.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. They're 7-22 from my skimming calculations. They have lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 straight.
So how many wins do they beat us, or how many runs do they beat us by?
5.
5?
There's your prediction next on the next show. some of their opponents include Vanderbilt.
Nobody's like Belmont.
Well, Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt's not a nobody.
They lost to 5 innings. I'm just talking about common opponents. Yeah. They lost by 5 runs in 5 innings. They played Ole Miss. They lost by 6 runs. They'll play Eastern Kentucky next weekend. That would have been interesting to see how they fared against them.
They lost 23-7 at Belmont.
They lost 29-9 at home against Evansville.
They are not a good team.
No.
This is another case of playing this team will likely bring our RPI down.
They lost 19-6, 15-6, and 26-2 to the Fighting Rick Rays of Southeast Missouri State.
They took a series from Jackson State.
Oh my God!
There are 4 games. It's a 4-game series. They only took 2.
Jackson State. That's the most incredible thing I've ever heard in my life.
But they did score 18 runs on their Saturday game, and then their first of 2 Saturday games.
Hey,
and then
Ethan, could you please enlighten us? Who did they play?
Jackson State.
Yeah.
They have not played many good teams, mm-hmm. and the ones they have, i.e., you know, Ole Miss, i.e., Vanderbilt, it's not gone well.
You don't realize how freaking angry I'll be on Thursday if we lose this game.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want me to do a show with me if we lose this game.
Well, you said let's make this the Ethan Lee show, so let's make this For Whom the Ethan Lee Tolls.
That's the worst title of
it. It is an awful while. Title. It's horrible, but I don't care.
You know what?
What is IPFW?
I think Purdue something.
Oh, is that
Indiana?
Indiana Purdue, the combined university.
I don't know. Ethan, okay. I'm going to make this a promise.
Okay.
If we lose to UT Martin, I'm leaving the show.
Forever?
Yes. It will be the Ethan Lee show.
Oh, that's going to be awful.
I'm legitimately saying that. If we lose to UT Martin, it's yours. That is legitimate. That is a promise. Give me a Bible.
I can't hand you my Bible through the internet. That's not how that works.
I am currently.
But you can access a Bible on the internet.
I'm currently putting my left hand on a stack of notes about the UT Chattanooga women's basketball team.
That's not a Bible.
So on that, I swear, if we lose to UT Martin, you will have the show.
Oh, I don't know if I should be excited about this or not.
You better hope we beat UT Martin.
Unless the listeners, like J-Dog, former listener, they should be hopeful. Because otherwise, I'm just going to turn it into the softball show.
The softball show.
Yeah.
With Ethan Lee. Brought to you by softball.
I don't have a sponsor.
Yeah.
We don't have tater logs. Speaking of softball,
I was about to use a profanity. Thank God I caught myself.
Speaking of softball, Ole Miss just took 2 of 3 from us.
Oh, way to depress everyone. What's a prediction for the UT Martin game?
No. The UT Martin game? I think at this point, I'm just going to predict we lose 3-2.
Okay. I'll say Mississippi State wins 11-6.
Yeah, we're not scoring less than 5 runs.
Well, you just said we are.
I know.
So, that'll do it for this episode for the podcast.
Nope.
You're really going to talk about how we lost to Ole
Miss. I'm
going to
just talk about it briefly.
You're
going
to talk about how we lost to Ole Miss.
Hey.
Game 2 was really freaking boring.
That game 2 was phenomenal.
We won the game, but it was really freaking boring.
No, pitching
duels aren't the best. We lost 1-0. Or we won 1-0.
Wait, yeah, we didn't lose that game. The team has hit a bit of a skid lately. In March, Van Sudeman's teams typically don't perform well. I tweeted this earlier. Let me pull it back up. They tend to start the season off well. In February, they've gone 56-15. In March, they go 55-42. And we're just now at the tail end of that skid. In March, we went 8-6. It's not that great. April is typically a better month for Van Studeman. Van Studeman going 40-21. See a bit of a surge late. So right now, hopefully we are in the end of that skid. And we can start turning this around. It'll be difficult because we've got Alabama coming up, Florida coming up, LSU for Super Bulldog Weekend, and then Kentucky and Mizzou. All of those teams are very good teams this year. So right now, I think what Van Studeman really needs to do is focus, well, just besides the obvious of focus on winning, finding a way to go 2-for-4 in the next 4 games would be great. Beating South Alabama, taking one from Alabama and Tuscaloosa, that really starts to get things turning around for this program. Coming back into playing Louisiana Tech at home before taking on LSU. So it'll be interesting to see if they can start to have another April surge as they have in previous years. Alexis Silkwood starting to look like she's finally healthy. She's starting to play better. But some of the other pitchers have looked shaky at best at times. Holly Ward has had struggles lately, despite carrying the team for most of the year. Reagan Green has looked like a freshman, as well as Corey Cooper has looked like a freshman at times. So it'll be interesting to see if they can go back to their early season winning ways, if they can find a way, start generating runs again. The run production has not been great lately. So you know, the team's young. They've got to find a way to live up to their potential. At this point, you know, they're not going to be worse than Arkansas, who is 0-9 in conference right now. So it's pretty much guaranteed that we're going to get into the SEC tournament. But I'm just not confident right now that beyond the SEC tournament is going to be that much fun for this team, at least at the moment. If they can go 2-4 or better through their next, or 2-2, 2-4.
What in God's green earth are you saying?
If they can take two of their next four games, I will have significantly more confidence in this team. If they can find a way to beat LSU at home, take that series, I think things will start sorting themselves out. Van Studenman has shown in the past with her record, March is not her month. March is always awful for this team. It's madness how awful March is. But April's typically tend to be better. It'll be interesting to see if that historical trend under Van Studenman can carry over to this year, where you're playing some of the best teams in the nation. So that's all I've got right now.
You're done?
Are you done?
That'll do it for this episode of From the Podcast Tolls.
We forgot to ask her questions.
Oh, well.
You never
on
ask
Thursday.
I'm always the one that's asking questions.
On Thursday, we'll talk about Mississippi State baseball's game against UT Martin, and we'll preview the upcoming series against Florida. But until then, thank you all for listening, and bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Oh, hashtag very quality.
You're very quality.